Welcome back to Front Page on the Pulse. My name's Rob Cameron. We have a very special guest on the line, a man who I used to watch with a great deal of excitement when I was a teenager, way back in the 60s and early 70s. While playing for the Geelong Footy Club, headed off to Richmond and played in a premiership side with the Tigers, and is now very much back in the Geelong camp, which is good to see. But today, talking about something completely different, Gareth Andrews, good morning and welcome.
Good morning, Rob. How are you?
Very, very good. Gareth was on our Two Blokes Chatting show a little while ago talking about his sporting career, but we finished off talking about what is a really important part of his life now, a foundation that he started off called Life Again, which is set up to support, men of my vintage and others who perhaps get to that stage of life where you ask yourself the question, Gareth, what does it all mean? Just tell us about your experience and how the foundation kicked off.
Rob, I started off the foundation as a result of... I had clinical depression 20 years ago. And the reality was I was just not travelling too well for a fair while. But, you know, it was a classic case of me not really doing anything about it. I'm a thinking person, and I was reading enough self-help books to sink a ship, but I couldn't come to quite the core and the essence of what was wrong. And it was, and coming out of that depression, and like depression hits you like a train coming out of a tunnel, you know, you just don't see it. So most blokes, this is still a conversation for women too, a very important one, and they talk about depression and mental health and all that in a different way to men, but you just don't see it coming, and men are totally in denial and won't admit that they're feeling. We have the phrase, and I think I used it the other last time we were on air, feeling shithouse, ?
Yep.
If you ask a guy how he's feeling, he'll say, oh, well, that's how I'm feeling. I'm feeling shithouse. Because the reality is men don't like the words mental health, suicide, anxiety, depression. They're just not in men's vocabulary because our egos don't allow them to, because they make us look weak in some shape or form. And no matter how much the government is spending in that what they call mental health area, it doesn't hit its mark, because we just soldier on. So I realised that was happening, and took me, you know, another 12 or 13 years to get out of my business interests and other things I was doing in life, to start a foundation which is all about helping men through that struggle period.
Now, Gareth, obviously with depression and as you said, feeling shit house, what happens around you has a ripple effect. And of course, the saddest part is you mentioned suicide, and ultimately some, and let's deal with men, because this is the idea of the foundation. Some men ultimately reach that point, which causes an enormous amount of pressure to family and friends around them, but even when they're just dealing with it, the lack of productivity and the ripple effect on how others around them feel. So it's not just the person holding the issue, it's the knock-on effect to others that also adds to the problem.
Oh, absolutely, Robin. And the one of the reasons why it is more serious for men is that at midlife, at 45 years of age, which is really in the main our lowest, across the population, our the lowest we can be, albeit that, you know, you can suicide or you hear of things happening at any stage of your life. But at 45, they say in Australia 5 to 6 times as many men commit suicide as women. So that is why it's a more serious result. The whole area of health and mental health at that stage is more difficult for men, and that's something you somehow or other, there's got to be a change, and the government is now talking about preventive health. When I started Life Again, it was all based on, here's my story, but if I'd had my time over again, what would I have done over the last 20 years? And so it was, there were signs there that I didn't know were signs. And so I sort of developed, just even chose the name of the foundation based on, if I have my life over again, what would I do?
Yeah, now, just give us an idea of how you've got an idea in your head. You think you know what you want to do, but how do you create something like this? How do you get the natural attachments to do it, and then more importantly, get the message out to say, hey, guys, look over here, I can help?
I think the most, we have three pillars, and the three pillars are the core of what we do. The first pillar is connection. You know, you've got to get connected. And the first person to connect with is yourself. You've got to recognize that this isn't right. I've got to make a change of some kind. The second connection is connection with other people, your family, because once you're starting to go down this rocky road, other people, as you're saying, Rob, quite correctly, are already starting to suffer. And imagine if you're a leader. Imagine if you're a leader in your business, at what level, whether you're CEO or a line leader or whatever. So it's connection with yourself, connection with others. We also talk a lot about coming out of, and this is where we talk a bit differently to some of the different groups that are out there. We talk about connection to nature. And having seen the distress caused by the massive fires last year and last summer, some before last, and also COVID, the one thing people suddenly realise is how important it is to just get out. And you see it happening all at the moment. Suddenly the boom in getting out of the big cities. And interestingly enough, Geelong is a bigger city now. I'm sitting talking to you right next to, just outside the city of Melbourne, like 50 metres. And it's... I'm looking at beautiful trees, but I'm just looking at noise. And so people do want to get back to nature. And if you don't get back to nature, what do? You're sort of stuck in this unreal sort of world. And so they're parts of the changes you can make. We know the changes to ourself that we can do. The exercise is important. The diet and better food is important, and it's easier to eat worse food and junk when you're feeling horrible. But that's when you've got to be strong. I mean, coming out of depression for me, and even thinking about life again, at least gave me a positive. And it's like flicking the switch and saying, that person makes me angry, and that's glass half empty, or that person shouldn't affect me in that way, in any way. I should get on with it. And the more you start feeding positive thoughts into yourself, the better you become. It's easy to get into the negative space.
Gareth, you're talking a lot about making that connection with people who are now where you were at your worst point, but obviously you're putting steps in place to stop people from getting there. Is the Life Again Foundation, if I had to say which of those two is most important to you, where would your focus best be?
In terms of, I just don't quite understand.
No, sorry, that there's people who are now coming into that midlife stage that will go to the area where you were at your worst. So is it a prevention thing, or is it more of a focus on helping people who are at that low stage to get through it? Which is the major focus for you?
It's a prevention thing. So it's a stage where I think most people, and it's in our DNA, most people go through that because we come out of a cycle where at 25, when we're pumped up and at our peak, and life's, for most people, is best, you're physically strong and the like, and particularly men, then they go into a period of connection with, you know, a partner, wife or partner, having children, having responsibilities, needing a career, needing money, needing the bigger house, and all of that sort of stuff. So it's at some level there, at some stage, you're going to be going down a slope which is not a positive one. So it's not as if you're going to, it's not, there's no place where everybody's different in at what speed they're going downhill or whether they're ever going to become depressed. You know, not everybody comes depressed. So that's why I tend to keep depression out of it. It's a place that you can end up in, but you want to try to make your life a better life wherever you are in that downward spiral. You know, if you made a change, again, that person in the company who's a leader, the biggest issue there is that leader's not well. It does. It follows right down through everyone under that person. So just the cost to a business is just the cost of business in Australia with people underperforming because of not being at their peak is billions of dollars. It's almost immeasurable. I've heard anything between 10 and 20 billion dollars.
Gareth, you are one of those unique people who's been very successful on the sporting field, but also in business. But you played in a day where you could combine the two. So when you came out of your football career, you already were up and running in the next phase of your life. Thinking back now, though, did losing that the glamour of your sporting world, did you think that may have had an effect which didn't come out till later on, or do you think you made that transition easily?
Oh, good question, Rob. I didn't make the transition easily because I was actually, one of the stories that I tell is that when I came out of footy, that was the first time I started having the black dog, you know, just feeling that things weren't right. Footy was my raison d'etre, for as far as I was concerned. A job was a job, and while I had my footy, you know, I'd do the job that I had to do because we didn't earn much money on the footy field. But, and I, unfortunately for me, I didn't really take time to sit back and say, what do I really want to do as far as a career was concerned? I didn't have a very good mentor. One of the things I talk about is try to find yourself someone at that stage, whether it's at the end of your working career, or no, the end of your educational career, or during tertiary or school or whatever, try to get somebody or try to get some help in terms of what direction you're going to go. I actually, everyone said, oh, go into business, Gareth, and go into property. And despite my working, having a successful, but on my measure, it wasn't a great success, but on other people's measures, they might say yes, because I know I wasn't totally emotionally involved in it. Interestingly for me, Rob, was one of the things I learnt was when I became vice president of the Cats in end of 98 with Frank Costa as the president, was to be there during that period of time and just see that you have to put all the things into place based on, you know, what you've learnt. And Frank Costa became my mentor then at, you know, 53, 54. I wish I'd had a Frank Costa earlier in my life.
Yeah, that's interesting that people talk about that mentor role model and some don't have it, some have extremely good ones and benefit from it. But you live through a period of just being self. Once you come out of footy, you're in this incredible team environment, successful, and you've gone into a business world where I guess you're absorbed by self for so long, and maybe that's where the pathway got blurred.
Yeah, and my father, Dad wasn't a great mentor for me, you know. He was out of that era where a father could be pretty tough without sort of being loving, per se.
Yep.
So I came out of that era when it was just, he died when I was 28. And that was literally, he died within 5 months of my footy career ending. So, you know, I was up the river without a paddle. And he'd sort of said, oh, well, if you don't want to do law, and Dad was, you know, the Andrews of Harwood Andrews, as he started up the old original Andrews and Backhouse, which he saw, you know, if you don't want to do law, why just go and do commerce? So I did ended up doing a degree, which wasn't me. I mean, I see myself as being, I like writing, I like I like engaging with people, and I went into a hardcore business which was all about money. And that, at the core, was probably why I became depressed.
Yeah.
If I'd learnt that earlier, I'm sure it would have been a different result.
There's 100 more questions I could ask, but we're running out of time. I think it's very important for people to understand where and how they can connect to life again if they're feeling connected to what you've been talking about this morning.
Just tell them to go online to www.lifeagain, one word, lifeagain.org.au. And that's place A, they can connect, they can go online, they can... and they could see some of the stories that I've written. And one of our pillars we were talking about is storytelling, because whatever your experience, everyone's been there before. So it's a matter of storytelling to find out you're not alone in this world, Rob.
Yeah, it's very important. And I'm thinking now about, you know, you're talking about your father, and I had memories of a completely different world, but exactly the same nurturing, which was this hard, tough, do what I did sort of attitude, without really figuring out, well, is that who I am? And you find out far too late in a lot of cases. You've had the opportunity to experience, feel it, and now do something about it. And I congratulate you. And the .org on the end, obviously, it's a not-for-profit organisation.
Not-for-profit. Registered not-for-profit. That's important to know that we're here and we're closely judged on what we do to get that status, and we're doing it.
Gareth, you'll only got a minute and a half to answer, and hopefully it's long enough, but are the events happening in Canberra at the moment sort of forcing people to open up about true feelings? Do you see this as a really positive change for society and helping in this exact area?
I think it's I'm sure it's a positive help in the long term, because it's changing. In the short term, it's very politicised and it's ugly. And the ugliness of all of this is that in the main, 99% of people are doing the right thing. On the other side of the coin are these 1% who aren't. And so the misbehaviour, the difficulty for men, is that we don't ever talk about, coming from the man's side, is it makes it hard for a man to know what's he supposed to be, who is he, how do I identify myself, because we're seen as the enemy in all of this. Difficult phase for men. And I'm sure women understand that as well.
Yeah, definitely. It's a great subject, and we're going to talk about it a lot more on this station, and I hope maybe in a month or 6 weeks we could get you back to talk about your foundation more and matters at hand. But I really, really appreciate your time this morning, Gareth. Thank you so much.
It's a pleasure, Rob, and I'm happy to speak any time. Thanks.
Good on you.